each and every one of you again. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's take it and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading here in verse 15, and we'll take it through verse 20. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, and we'll read it through verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, and reading it through verse 20. All right, Ephesians 5. Are we there? Something like that? Possibly? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, the Word of God reads this. It says, therefore, Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Look at this, 2019, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Would you agree that the days are evil? Yes. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God of the will of the Lord is. I would underline that verse, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, praise God, amen. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Another one for 2019, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Let's go to Him in prayer today. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to You, and we thank You, Lord, that we can come together at the very beginning of this new year. And Lord, we can be reminded and challenged and encouraged, and perhaps, Lord, Your Holy Spirit might convict us today. But Lord, I pray that we would keep our sin account short and that we would meet with You, Lord, and pray with You and talk with You, Lord, and seek forgiveness and grace and mercy. And Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for the sin that is covered. Lord, we thank You for the cross. We thank You today for our salvation. Lord, be with us this morning. Be with those that couldn't be here. We pray You might draw them back to us next Sunday, next Wednesday, Lord. Father God, but those that are here today, thank You for them. And Lord, I pray that You help them, You undergird them, Lord, You strengthen them, and You get them set right for 2019. Lord, we know You're coming back. We don't know how much longer we have, but we praise You and thank You for this day. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Well, when it comes to God's will for your life, remember last Sunday. Don't forget, there are some very important prerequisites, so to speak, that must be in place in your life, or you at least must be committed to, in order to get in on following God's best for your life. I mean, if you're saved today, if you're a Christian today, why not follow God's best for your life? I mean, there's good for your life, and there's okay for your life, and there's average for your life, but why not in 2019 have God's best for your life? Amen? Well, in order for that to happen, we talked about these prerequisites last Sunday. I'll remind you of them once more. Keen sense of the obvious, if you're going to follow God's will for your life, you got to be a Christian. Amen? I mean, bottom line, you got to be a Christian. Secondly, you must be wise. And we saw that in the passage that we read this morning in Ephesians 5. But you must really want to do the will of God. That's the third prerequisite. We said last Sunday, you must be willing to pray and wait. That's the fourth prerequisite. And fifthly, you must be willing to give up some of your creature comforts. When God begins to stir and move, you say, well, how can that be best? How can that be best for me to give up something that I really, really like? Sometimes when we give something up, God blesses in return, friend. Right? We don't know quite what's going on, but if we'll just follow God's will, follow His leading, it may look tough in the short. It may look tough in the short time, but the long range is great with God. Amen? And how He's leading us. Well, after we covered the prerequisites, we began last Sunday morning, and we again revisited last Sunday night, unpacking, talking about how God, in fact, does lead us. We have said thus far that God leads us through His written Word. Praise God and amen for that. His written Word, His love letter to us, sent from heaven above. I mean, we've got it. We've got all of God's Word we're supposed to have. It's a great, awesome, and mighty thing. God leads us through His written Word. The precepts, the don't do's, and the principles, the generalities, you need to do these things. That's how God leads us. Secondly, we said Sunday night, God leads us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I preached, I think, on a Sunday night, and we talked about Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. And for those of you that were here, let me remind you of that passage. And for those of you that weren't, let me just kind of expose you today to that passage. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13 reads, "Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He'll not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he?" Jesus talking here. "Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And what we talked about a couple of weeks ago in dealing with this is that, hey, we're saved. We've been baptized into the Holy Spirit. We're saved. We've been sealed for the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. If we're saved, there's been a transaction that has taken place in our hearts via the Holy Spirit. But what we're talking about, asking for the Holy Spirit, means that we're asking for a fresh infilling of God's Spirit. A fresh infilling of His Spirit, right? We want to start the day asking for that great gift of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is so key in following God's will so that we experience God's best for our life. God leads us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. We finally said last Sunday night that God leads us through the counsel of wise, qualified, trustworthy people. If you don't have some of those people, at least one of those people, you need to pray that God would send you one of those people. Somebody who is wise, somebody who is qualified, somebody who is trustworthy, that you can use as a sounding board as you believe and go through God's Word and go through prayer, and you're thinking that and you're believing that God's leading you into His best, but you just want to talk to somebody about that. Friend, you need somebody in your life who's wise, qualified, trustworthy. I ain't got it, Pastor. I ain't got that person. You need to pray for that person. Amen? Because God will help you there. Amen? Well, as we continue on this morning, God leads us. We're talking about how God leads us. God leads us by giving us an inner assurance of peace. Everybody say peace with me. Peace. I'm not talking about the hippie peace. Amen? Not talking about the, I guess that's fine, hippie peace, you know, the bandana and all that, and the bell-bottom pants and the suede vest and the psychedelic-looking shirt. I mean, the hippie piece is okay, but I'm way past that, way past the hippie piece. I'm talking about real inner peace, right? Real inner peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, write the address down or turn to it, Colossians 3:15. Listen to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, again, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen? Be thankful. God's inner assurance of peace or lack of peace will act as a traffic light in your heart, will act as a traffic light in your heart. I was driving early this morning, and I was in the fog, and I was coming down, I want to say, Huff Smith Road. My soul, all of a sudden there was a red light. And, I mean, there was a red light, but I couldn't see the red light until I was almost past the red light. And the wheels skidding down the road. Oh, I stopped. Praise the Lord. I'm not getting T-boned today. Amen. Those traffic lights are important, aren't they? Amen. Well, peace, when we have peace in our hearts, when we have peace from God, let the peace of Christ, when we have this peace, it's like a green light, man. It's a green light, and it says go, right? Green means go, right? When I'm driving, that's what it usually means. Not quite peace, kind of on the fence with peace, that means kind of yellow. If there's a yellow light, it means you better slow down because the light's about to turn white. Yeah, yellow does not mean gun it, right? That's not what yellow means. I know that's how some of you drive. You see yellow and you say, oh, that means cuckoo. That ain't what. That is not what yellow means. Yellow means caution. Slow down, friend, right? So you have the yellow. You're not quite got the peace. It means to slow down. Be cautious about where you think God is leading you to go. So then what do you do if you've got the yellow thing going on in your life? So then you pray. So then you seek the Lord. You seek God's Word. In a Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 kind of way. You remember Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I think we read it last Sunday morning. We want to renew our mind so that we can determine what the will of God is. How do we renew our mind? Through prayer and through Bible study and through getting around the saints and through worship and praise and just living the Christian life. That's how the mind is renewed. Amen? No peace. Peace, green light, kind of waffling around with a peace. Yellow light, no peace, like a red light. And red lights mean stop. I mean now, stop. Now, hey, you don't have peace? You may be potentially heading in a wrong direction. You don't have peace? The direction may be all right, may be fine, but the timing may be completely off. Either way, you need to stop until you get your peace. Amen? The peace from God. When we talk about this peace, what are we really talking about? Well, I think Colossians 3:15 sheds some light. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. But Philippians 4:7 kind of reaffirms it. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It really speaks to the red, the yellow, and the green we just talked about. See, this peace is from God, and it comes via the person of the Holy Spirit and is experienced when we have a right relationship with God, a right relationship. Now, you could be saved today, but you know and I know we get in this rut where we just don't keep our sin account short. We just kind of get in this rut where we don't spend any time with God. We just kind of get in this rut where we just don't speak to God like we should. We just kind of get in a spiritual rut. Well, a spiritual rut is you're still going to have your saved, rutted self go to heaven, but the spiritual rut is not a right relationship with God. You want your relationship to be right, which means you need to confess, and you need to repent, and you need to talk to, and you need to fellowship with. Amen? This God-given peace is also what I love. It's also an emotion, right? It's also an emotion. I used to, I've got three girls in the house, one girl in college. My favorite girl is my wife. Amen? Yeah. But I used to think how emotional they are, right? So very emotional. And then it finally dawned on me, you know, I'm a pretty emotional guy myself. God creates these emotions, doesn't he? I mean, he made us with these emotions. This thing called peace, this God-given thing, it is also an emotion. It's something that we feel. I like to feel, amen, I like to feel peace. I like to feel good about a decision, about a direction, don't you? Amen. God-given peace is an emotion, and it's one emotion that can help us as we wrestle with the Lord's will, as we wrestle with it. Should I go to this school? Should I tackle this career? Is this the person for me? Is this the church I'm supposed to be at? Is this the group I'm supposed to be running with, right? As we wrestle with the Lord's will for our lives. This God-given peace comes in spite of the obstacles or the odds. It comes regardless of the risk or the danger. I mean, you can be in a dangerous place. You can be in a sickened state. You can be in all kinds of different things and still have this peace. And still know you're right where God wants you to be. God-given peace is kind of like God saying to you in your inner monologue voice. It's kind of like God speaking to you as you're in the Word of God. It's kind of like God conveying to you as you're praying and then listening to Him. It's kind of like God saying, I'm in this decision. I'm in it for you. I'm in it for you to win it. You can trust me in this. Amen? You can trust me. So what can we say that the will of God for our lives is? What can we say that the will of God for our lives is? Because we've now unpacked a little bit how God does lead us. So what can we say that the will of God for our lives is? Kind of a short sermon, really only 2 points. What can we say that the will of God for our lives is? The will of God for our lives, the will of God for my life, the will of God for your life is not some kind of a theory. The will of God is not some kind of an idea. Rather, God's will is a reality that can be experienced by you, the believer. You can experience the will of God. You can experience the very best that God has for you. Now, that excites me. Amen? So now we come to the bottom line. We come to the nitty-gritty, so to speak. We come to this. We have to live out His will. We want the very best. We've got to live it out. We've got to live out His will in the real world, because it's not a theory that we talk about in church. It's a reality that we walk out there when we leave this church, right? We've got to live out His will in the real world. What does attempting to do God's will normally lead us to? Well, I can only speak from personal experience and speak from what I read in the Bible and speak from what I've talked to other people about through the years. But attempting to do God's will, to live out God's best for my life, it's amazing. It normally will lead to some kind of a crisis. It normally will lead to some kind of a crossroad. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? It always brings me to a point. I'm being obedient and trying to follow God's will for my life. I'm being obedient. But it always seems to lead me to an opportunity to obey Him more. Wow. Yeah, that's what it does. When we really get down to the nitty-gritty of it. Doing God's will demands a decision out of me. Doing God's will, the decision requires faith. Oh, Pastor, man, I got faith. I believe in Jesus. I got faith. Man, I know I'm saved. Pastor, I got faith. I'm heaven bound today. But not only faith does it requires action. Can we go back and talk more about faith? Faith and action. Man, I'm okay with the faith part, but the action, you're crowding me out today, Pastor. See, you cannot see the end. You cannot see the end. I've never been able to really determine what the end is going to be. I've only been able to take the next step. I can't see that far in advance. I can't even see a day in advance, right? So I have to step out. I have to trust Him in faith, and then I have to take action and step out. Faith and action. Say it with me. Faith and action. Faith and action go hand in hand. They run together. They are inseparable. I love studying the Word of God. I was studying God's Word, and every now and then I find myself in the Torah, the law. I like Moses, I like these Old Testament saints. Imagine how difficult the action part of following God's will was for Moses, right? I like saying his name, Moses. Kind of in a Charlton Heston way, Moses, right? Moses, right? Yeah, imagine how difficult the action part of following God's will was for Moses as he took the first step into the Red Sea. Let me unpack that for you. Exodus chapter 14. You read that chapter, the implication is that prior to the crossing of the Red Sea, they had already departed Egypt. They had left Egypt, right? They finally gotten set free, set my people free. The people were free. They were moving across the land. And Pharaoh said, whoa, wait a minute. I think I've made a mistake. You better go get them people back. And so he sends all the best chariots, right? He sends the best part of his military to pursue them, right? Well, Exodus 14 implies that prior to the crossing, Moses and the people, Moses is leading. Moses and the people were led by the angel of the Lord and a pillar of cloud. They were led by none other than, I believe, the pre-incarnate Christ and the very Shekinah glory of Almighty God. They're out in front, Moses is behind them, and the people are behind Moses. And there they go across the desert, fleeing Egypt. They're free now, right? But as the scripture reads, as the Egyptians, as the chariots close in, the angel and the pillar move to the rear of the people, leaving now the front of the people exposed, leaving Moses and his faith at the front of the whole deal. Moses and his faith. Oh, but his faith, friend, required action. So he had to step. He had to do more than two things, you know, chew bubble gum and walk, right? He had to step with his staff lifted high. And as he stepped, as Moses stepped with his staff lifted high, as the east wind blew and the waters parted before him and the people, Moses walked. And as the Word of God reads, that east wind blew all night, and I believe as he took each step, that sea parted, next step, sea parted more, next step. There's millions of people that got to move through there. They're following Moses. Moses is following God's direction. Right? The angel of the Lord and the pillar are behind him. They said, go, raise up your staff. And he's walking in faith. Faith requires action. And what did God do? God opened up a dry path through the sea, all the way through it. Not muddy, not a little damp. It was dry, dusty by the time it all opened up and they're walking through it. Right? Amazing, isn't it? Now, do you think God was glorified in Moses' obedience? Do you think he was glorified? I believe he really was. He was glorified, right, as he obeyed to cross the Red Sea on dry ground with God's chosen people behind him, behind Moses. Yes, I believe he was glorified. Why do we not glorify Moses in this? I mean, we affirm Moses in this, but we don't worship Moses in this. Well, why not glorify Moses for this miraculous crossing? I mean, he's the one that lifted up the staff, and he's the one that took the first step out. See, we don't glorify Moses, do we? We don't worship Moses, do we? We still glorify God. Thousands of years past this whole incident, looking back at it, we still glorify God because we know that the crossing on dry ground was beyond Moses. It's beyond his staff. It's beyond anything that Moses can do. It's a God thing. Amen? So you following God's will, you seeking not to just have the average, you seeking not to just have the good, you seeking to have the very best God can give for you, and God can give to you, you following God's will is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to be glorified. That's my second point, and I'm almost done, right? You get to beat some people today. You following God's will is an opportunity for God to be glorified. For God to be glorified. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith, there's that faith word again, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible to bring glory to Him. It's impossible to glorify Him, right? And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Praise God. Amen. See, when it comes to following God's will, how do you think God is most pleased? When it comes to following God's will, how do you think God is most glorified? When it comes to God's will, how do you think God is most honored. He is most honored and glorified and pleased when we realize that God is calling us to do something that is beyond us. That is beyond us. And we faithfully and obediently, not knowing the full extent of it, we faithfully and obediently carry these things out. Now, some sitting here today might be thinking in their inner monologue voice, might be writing down on their piece of paper that they're taking notes on, that God would never ask me to do something I cannot do. God would never ask me to do something that is beyond me. But friend, just read the Bible. The kind of assignments God gives in the Word, the kind of assignments God gives to real people like me and you, the kind of assignments that the Bible is always talking about are God-sized assignments. His assignments are always what the people can do. The question is why? Because God wants to demonstrate some things. He wants to demonstrate His nature to you as someone trying to live out His perfect will, His best will. He also wants to demonstrate His nature to the lost and dying world around you. He's seeking to draw lost people to Himself. Amen? He wants to demonstrate His strength to you, but to also a watching world. He wants to demonstrate His provision to you, but also to those that are around you. He wants to demonstrate His kindness to you, but also to the lost. He wants to demonstrate all these things to His people, you, into a watching world. Let me give you an application here. If what you believe God is asking you, if what you believe God is asking you, if what you believe God is leading you, if what you believe He's telling you to do through your prayer time, through the preached Word of God, through the taught Word of God, if you believe what God is telling you to do through some radio ministry you're listening to, and the something, the direction you believe He's leading you or you believe He's telling you, is something that you can totally handle on your own. I mean, you can do it all by yourself. I would be very suspect that you are really hearing from God. And the question is why? What glory is there? What glory is there for God if you succeed only in your flesh? What is the glory of God in that? You succeeding only in your flesh or on your own without any kind of a help. See, friends, the relationship we have with God is not one of independence. I think we forget that a lot of times. We think we're just independent people here. We're not independent. We are to be dependent. Dependent. Say it with me. Dependent. We're to be dependent on Him, friend. Dependent. Not independent of Him, but dependent on Him and His Holy Spirit. See, following God's will means that we must believe that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He will do. And God says He'll help you. And God says in Hebrews 11:6, He'll reward you. And God says that He'll lead you. Praise God, I need some help in that area. Amen. I need some leadership in my life. So how do we glorify God? Well, following His will. Taking on God-sized, not human-sized, but God-sized assignments. And let me tell you something, friend. God-sized assignments not only require trust, they also require major adjustments. Major adjustments. Major adjustments accompany God's will. Now, the Bible is full of examples of people changing to follow God's will. People don't change, Pastor. Oh, they do. Oh, they do. With God's help, they do. With the Holy Spirit involved, they do. I'm telling you, people change. Man, Pastor, I just don't believe people can change. People can change. People have changed. People will change. Amen? Noah could not continue life as usual and build an ark at the same time, could he? No, had to change, didn't he? Yes. Abram could not stay in Ur of the Chaldees, Haran, and father a nation in Canaan, could he? No, he had to move. Abram had to move. Major change. Moses could not stay on the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. He had to come on in and set the people free, amen? David had to leave his sheep to become a king, another change. Amos had to leave the sycamore trees in order to preach in Israel. Jonah had to leave his home and overcome a major prejudice in order to preach in Nineveh. Amen. Oh, but there's more. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had to leave their fishing business to follow Jesus. Matthew had to leave his tax collector's booth to follow Jesus. Saul, later Paul, had to completely change direction, completely change the purpose of his life in order to be used of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. God leads us by giving us an inner assurance of peace. Believe in that, amen? You following God's will is an opportunity for God to be glorified. Two questions to think about as we continue to ponder about bringing glory to God via following His will. Question number one. What makes risk so difficult for you? What is the thing that makes risk so difficult for you? Well, Pastor, risk, I mean, when we really get down to the bottom line of the risk thing, I mean, you know, risk is a nice board game to play, but risk in my own life, taking risk represents a possible change. And man, I'm not so sure I want to change anything. Oh, my soul. Friend, let me tell you something. Change may mean getting rid of some besetting sin in your life. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Amen. Getting rid of a besetting sin, maybe a jealous thinking, maybe a bad habit, maybe perhaps laziness. Change? I think that's a good thing. Amen. Change for most folks, though, is enormously challenging. Why is it so challenging? Well, walking with the Lord is a risky path. It's a risky path. And everything within us, when we live and lean on our own understanding, when we're living and leaning on our own understanding, everything within us screams, oh, man, just keep it like it is. Just keep it like it is, man. Just leave it alone. Don't if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think we all need a little fixing. Amen. Am I the only one? Maybe I'm the only one. Need a little fixing? Oh, you need a lot of fixing, Pastor. Okay, a lot of fixing. Amen. But we all need some change. Amen. Right? So my question to you, are you substituting? Are you settling? Are you settling for average? Perhaps the good. You're settling for good. And you're missing out on God's best for your life. Question number two. Question number one, what makes risk so difficult for you? Question number two, are you willing to make a major change in your life? Assuming that the change is the Lord's will. I mean, we need to be led to change. We need to have peace about the change. What are some good indicators that the change is God's will? What are some good things to know if the change I need to make is really change I need to make? The change generally, and perhaps specifically, lines up with God's word. God's not going to ask you to change anything that isn't in line with His word, right? The change is going to be confirmed by the person of the Holy Spirit, an inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. The change is going to resonate with those wise, trusted, and qualified folks around you. On the brink of making this change, your personal flesh may very well not like it, but the Spirit in you, you have a peace that passes all understanding. In addition, making the change will take more of you than you can muster. You're going to have some help. God will have to help. And you will have to depend on God in order to see the change through. And finally, you can know. Are you willing to make a major change in your life, assuming the change is the Lord's will? You can know if it really is God's will for you to make that change, for you to seek God's best, for you to go after God's best. You can know that it will glorify Almighty God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name, sing praises to your name, Lord, and be about your word. Lord, we've tried to bring some wisdom and some discernment and some direction when it comes to following your perfect will for our lives. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would take what we've spoken today that's been spoken in love. And Lord, the Holy Spirit would use this truth, the truth of your word, Lord, to mold and make us. Lord, I pray that those here this morning that need to get some things out of their lives and off of their hearts, that this would be the beginning of that for them. That, Lord, they might find themselves in the altar today, seeking you, Lord, and laying some things down and seeking a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you forgive, and thank you that there's peace available. Lord, thank you that there's love and abundance. Thank you that there's a purpose and a direction for our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we get patience and we get opportunity and we get second chances to get that very best, to follow that very best. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue to worship you and to praise your name and to bring glory and honor to you. Be with us during this time of invitation. And Lord, if there's one here among us that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray this would be the hour, the day, the moment in which they finally let go of the pew. They let go of their sin. They let go of their pride. They let go of everything. They walk this aisle for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you still save. Thank you, Lord, that we can still come, that we can seek your face. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. Altars are open. You come.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I have already 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me
Jeremiah. Amen. We give the Lord a hand for the day. Amen. All right. Yes, sir. Brother John, you want to tell us about what we got back here for folks?
Yeah, just got the annual tax records.
Annual tax records? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother John, you close out with a word of prayer. Let folks know that they can pick those things up from you. Amen.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today, Lord. Thank you for Brother Steve bringing the word, Lord. Lord, bless our heart. We thank you for 2018, Lord, as we look forward to serving you, Lord, in 2019, Lord. Lord, we give all the praise and honor and glory to you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Hey, before you folks are dismissed, I want you to look back at this guy right here. Amen? Brother Ray, amen. All right. Amen. Brother Ray has lived to tell about it. Amen? Open heart surgery, bypass, and here he is. Praise God for him. Amen? All right. That's right. Yeah. They've had a rough 2018. They sure have.